Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chenava Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 23, Chapter entitled Maharaj Prithu's Going Back Home, Text Number 17. Indriyeshu Manastani,
Indriyeshu Manastani,
Dhanmatreshu Yato Bhavan,
Dhanmatreshu Yato Bhavan,
Bhutadina Munyut Krishya, Mahatyatmani Sandade, Indriyeshu Manastani, Tanmatreshu Yatod Bhavam, Udadina Munyut Krishya, Mahatatmani Sandade, Indriyeshu, in the sense organs, Mana, the mind, Tani, the sense organs, Tatma Tureshu, in the objects of the senses, Yata Udbhavam, wherefrom they generated. Buddha Adina, by the five elements. Amuni, all those sense objects. Ukrishya, taking out. Mahati, in the Mahatattva. Atmani, unto the ego. Sandade, amalgamated. Translation and purport for His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. He amalgamated the mind with the senses and the senses with the sense objects according to their respective positions. And he also amalgamated the material ego with the total material energy, Mahatattva. Translation responsible. He amalgamated the mind with the senses. And the senses with the sense objects. According to their respective positions. And he also amalgamated the material ego with the total material energy. Mahatattva. Purport. In respect to the ego, the total material energy is sundered in two parts. One agitated by the mood of ignorance, the other agitated by the modes of passion and goodness. Due to agitation by the modes of ignorance, the five gross elements are created. Due to agitation by the mode of passion, the mind is created, and due to agitation by the mode of goodness, false egoism or identification with matter is created. The mind is protected by a particular type of demigod. Sometimes the mind, mana, is also understood to have a controlling deity or demigod. In this way, the total mind, namely, the material mind controlled by material demigods, was amalgamated with the senses. The senses, in turn, were amalgamated with the sense objects. The sense objects are forms, tastes, smells, sounds, etc. Sound is the ultimate source of the sense objects. The mind was attracted by the senses and the senses by the sense objects, and all of them were ultimately amalgamated in the sky. The creation is so arranged that cause and effect follow one another, one after the other. The merging process involves amalgamating the effects with the original cause. Since the ultimate cause is the material world, in the material world is Mahatattva, everything was gradually wound up and amalgamated with the Mahatattva. This may be compared to Shunyavada, voidism. But this is the process for cleansing the real spiritual mind or consciousness. When the mind is completely washed of all material contamination, the pure consciousness acts. The sound vibration from the spiritual sky can automatically cleanse all material contaminations, as confirmed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Cheto Dharana Majanam. We need only take the advice of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and chant the Hare Krishna mantra to cleanse the mind of all material contamination. And this may be considered the summary of this difficult verse. As soon as the whole material contamination is washed away by the process of chanting, all desires and reactions to material activities become immediately vanquished, and real life, peaceful existence begins. In this age of Kali, it is very difficult to adopt the yogic process mentioned in this verse. Unless one is very expert in such yoga, the best course is to adopt the ways and means of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Thus one can gloriously become freed from all material contamination by the simple process of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just as life in this material world has its beginning in material sound, similarly, a spiritual life has its beginning in this spiritual sound vibration. Omigyan Timanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Yurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manupishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swa Padantikam Vanchakalpata Rupyascha Kripa Sandupi Eva Chapatitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Prithu Maharaj is preparing to leave the world. So this is an instruction from the Bhagavatam, which is practical for all of us. Because all of us will have to leave this world. And sometimes it is said, life is the preparation and death is the examination. So we will all be examined when we will have to leave this world. That's what we're all preparing for. Everything is preparation for the time of death. Because at the time of death, everything will be tested. Your sadhana will be tested. How strong is your sadhana? Sadhana means your daily practices, your chanting. We chant every day. Minimum 16 rounds, for those of us who take that. So, why do we do the chanting? So that at the time of death, we will chant the names of Krishna. Because if you don't chant the names of Krishna, if you're not conscious of Krishna at the time of death, then the destination will be unknown. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says that the injunction which overrides every other injunction in our practice of sadhana is always remember Krishna. Never forget Krishna. So that's why we do all of our chanting, so that we can have Krishna smaranam at the time of death. Shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu smaranam. These three are the first three items of bhakti given by Prahlad Maharaj. In a sense, they are the most important. Shravana and Kirtana. Shravana means hearing about Krishna. Kirtana means chanting about Krishna, glorifying Krishna. The two are interdependent. How good is your chanting? How good will your chanting become? Your chanting will only become efficient according to the hearing process. In other words, when you're hearing about Krishna, and the hearing is enriched with Krishna Shakti, Vina, Krishna Shakti, when it's enriched with Krishna consciousness, in other words, you're hearing about Krishna very deeply, then your chanting has effect. You can chant the holy name, but the more you've been hearing about Krishna, right, the deeper your chanting will become. It'll become a deeper experience. Prabhupada advised, before you go to sleep, you should read the Krishna book. You should read about Krishna. And Prabhupada said, if you read about Krishna just before you go to bed, you will dream of Krishna. Yeah. Has that ever happened to anyone? You read about Krishna and then when you went to bed. It never happened to me. I've read about Krishna many times, but I don't dream about him. Because my consciousness has not gone to a deeper level yet. You know, if my consciousness was deeper, I would dream about Krishna. Sometimes what I dream about has got nothing to do with Krishna. It's like I'm an atheist. One guru in the Hare Krishna movement, he said that when he wakes up in the morning, he is an atheist. In other words, you know, what happens in the saddle platform while we're sleeping, sometimes that is nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, because our consciousness may not be so deep as yet. Prabhupada, on the other hand, actually did not sleep. And when he was apparently unconscious or sleeping, he was still conscious of Krishna. It's a totally different level of consciousness. Prabhupada would nod off, and then when he would come back, he would keep speaking from where he left off. In other words, his consciousness was not material, or did not become covered by ignorance. So, your chanting becomes powerful, or empowered, or effective by the healing process. Shravanam and Kirtanam are interdependent. And your reading, or your study, or your hearing, just like now we're hearing the Bhagavatam, this is all based upon how deep your chanting is. In other words, if you chant very deeply, then when you hear about Krishna, you'll get realizations. So both have to be effective. That's why it says, when we chant the 10 offenses in the morning, we say it is an offense to be inattentive whilst chanting. Because if you are inattentive, how do you get the effect of the chanting? So the deeper your chanting is, then you'll get realizations. You'll purify the consciousness. And then when you read about Krishna, then you'll get realizations. And then when you read, then your chanting will become more effective. That's why Prabhupada said, you have to read his books every day. Hands up if you read Prabhupada's books every day. That's good. You're supposed to be reading Prabhupada's books every day. I don't read Prabhupada's books every day. But we should. We should read Prabhupada's books every day. I make sure I listen to lectures every day. There's always Shravanam going on. But reading, that should be done every day also. Because if you're doing that, Prabhupada actually said 1 hour a day. There's another conversation where Prabhupada said 2 hours a day. And then sometimes devotees would say to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I don't have so much time. Prabhupada said, then eat less, sleep less. Reduce your eating, reduce your sleeping. Then time is there. You got time to eat. You got time to sleep. Then you've got time to read Prabhupada's books. No? It's all a question of desire, that's all. Prabhupada was only sleeping 2 hours a night. And then he'd have his massages. Oh, sorry, he'd have his massage. After breakfast, he'd also take a rest, maybe about half an hour. And then after his lunch, he'd also take a rest. So about half an hour there, 2 hours most, 3 hours. And his massage lasted about an hour. So effectively, you could say, you know, 3 to 4 hours of rest. But Prabhupada said that requires practice. It wasn't like Prabhupada went straight to 3 to 4. You know, when he was a grihastha, he probably wasn't reducing it like that. But then it requires practice. Why? Because he had an intense desire to serve Krishna. He did not want to waste time. So therefore he reduced those things so he could do more. So then, hearing and chanting about Krishna. Hearing and chanting, this is the basis of the whole process. And what does it culminate in? Vishnu Smaranam. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. And what's Rupa Goswami's instruction? Always remember Krishna. Krishna Smaranam. That's the goal. So everything we do is led to that. Are we remembering Krishna? If you're not remembering Krishna, then what are you doing? What's the point of being here? What did you come here for? Because you like the food? Why do you come here? We come here to become Krishna conscious. Are we doing that? Are we achieving that? Prabhupada says in the Krishna book, I think chapter 30, he says, the test is, like when you have scales, tula, right? So you have scales, so you have, you put more on this end goes up, put more on this end goes up. So Prabhupada said, practically, how do you see if you're becoming Krishna conscious? You're remembering Krishna more. And the material desires are less. And the material desires are more, then you'll remember Krishna less. So you have to see what is taking place. So each one of us has to see that in our own life. And when we are anishta, anishta means? What is anishta? Anishta means when we are unsteady. Unsteady means you've not got to the platform of nishti yet. So anishta, when you're practicing anishtika bhakti, it means if your bhakti is unsteady, then sometimes you feel like that. There's more Krishna, or there's more material desires, like it all fluctuates. And the more Krishna conscious you become, you feel less like that. You just feel like there's more Krishna, and less wavering. Your enthusiasm does not waver. Right? When we're still practicing, then in the beginning, our enthusiasm goes up and down all the time. You know, now I'm enthusiastic, now I'm not enthusiastic, now I'm enthusiastic, now I'm not enthusiastic. It keeps fluctuating. But then it has to become steady in due course of time. How do we become steady? When the material desires become less. Right? So Prithu Maharaj is preparing for the time of death. Now, it's an interesting preparation. Similar description was given when Canto 1, when Yudhishthira, it describes when he went to Himalaya with the Pandavas. Similar thing. Amalgamating or merging the elements into themselves. Now, this is the system. But it's not the system we are taught and not the system we emphasize and necessarily follow. You know, it's not when you're chanting, you start saying, okay, now I'm going to merge, you know, senses in the sense objects and you know, like that. You know, at the end of your japa in the morning, like you're like, you know, now the mind is going back into intelligence, intelligence is going back into ego, ego is going back into sort of consciousness, and I can see super soul. So we're not doing it like that. That's not the system. There is a system like that, but it's not so easy to do that. But the principle is exactly the same. The system is called neti neti. Neti neti means?
Not this, not that.
Not this, not this. Right? Neti neti. It means, this is spoken about in the third canto of Bhagavatam. Now we're in fourth canto. Third canto, when we went through the process of Sankhya, is spoken about by Lord Kapiladev. So he analyzed the 26 material elements. Right? He analyzed everything. All of the different material elements. And then what do? We have five sense objects, right? Five working senses, right? Five knowledge acquiring senses. So you're going through the process of neti neti. I'm not this. Are you the sense objects? No, okay, not the sense objects. Are you the working senses? Okay. Are you the knowledge acquiring senses? Are you the mind, the intelligence, the ego? Okay, you're not that. Neti neti. Right. So we're working it out. We're not all these things. Right? I'm not my body. What is the first teaching of Bhagavad Gita? What's Prabhupada's main, you know, if you had to say one line that Prabhupada used in his preaching, what would it be? Yeah, I think when I think of Prabhupada's preaching, it's probably the line which stands out the most. I am not the body. You are not the body. Prabhupada emphasized this practically more than anything else. Definitely one of his major instructions. You are not the body. So that's simplifying that entire process of Sankhya. I am not this, I am not that, I am not that. So then what are you? If you're not the body, if you're not the mind, right? We suffer when we identify with the body. When you think you are the body, you will suffer. Right? When you think you are the mind, you will suffer. When you think you are the intelligence and the ego, then you will suffer. So we are not these things. Right? And then gradually we have to become detached from those things. I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not that. But then, okay, if you're none of those things, then what are you? You're definitely something, aren't you? Are you something or not?
I hope so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good answer. It's a good answer. Yeah, we hope so. We seem like we're experiencing something, so we must be something. What are we? So that's the question. What are we? Jivara Swarupahoy Krishnara Nityadas. The Jiva Swarupa. The Jiva's identity eternally. Krishnara Nityadas. I am the eternal servant of Krishna. Right? That is your job description. Eternal servant of Krishna. You can't resign. Right? You can't go and say, put the paper on Annie Rudy Puru's desk. Right? I resign. And devotee said that to Prabhupada one time. Prabhupada, I'm not going to serve anyone. I'm not going to serve this devotee or this person or like that. Prabhupada said, how do you resign from Krishna's service? Right? How do you resign from Krishna's service? What are you going to do? You know the pastime of Bhakta Jeff? You don't know the pastime of Bhakta Jeff? Really? Okay. I'll tell you the pastime of Bhakta Jeff. I was living in the ashram many years ago, early 90s. One bhakta, he moved into the temple. His name was?
Bhakta Jeff.
So he moved in. So he's living there for 6 months or something. But his mother, he was like Eastern European, like Polish or something. And his mother put very different for him to become a Hare Krishna devotee. And their community, that was very radical, very strange. So she was putting a lot of pressure on him. And he had like close relationship with his mother. So she kept saying, you have to leave, you can't stay with them, they're a cult, you have to go away. Like, so she kept putting pressure. So then one day he caved in. He got weak, and then his mother came, she drove, and he jumped out the window of the Brahmachari Ashram. Right down there on Boyd Street, and then got in the car and then drove off. So then he went to home and he walked in. His mother had his bed ready and his bedroom ready and everything. So he walks in and goes and takes off his neck beads and then now I will forget Krishna. So then he turns on the radio so he can forget Krishna. And on the radio it said, "Bow down, Mr. Hare Rama, Hare Krishna." Boy George had one song. And it went number one in some countries in the world. And he thought, "Oh no, I'm trying to forget Krishna. I'm trying to resign from Krishna's service. You can't resign from Krishna's service. It's impossible. So many devotees left. So many devotees left. But they all come back. Right? And Krishna, I mean, Prabhupada says in Ishopanishad, is it Ishopanishad or Nectar of Instruction? Where Prabhupada said forcibly grabs, forcibly drags back. Where is that? Huh? Nectar of Instruction? It is? Yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada said, Krishna will forcibly drag back the devotee. There's two ways to go back to Krishna. There's two ways. One is you cooperate. And the other one is you don't cooperate. Right? It's like the kids. Okay, one of the kids is making too much noise, right? So then you grab the kid. Say, okay, we're going outside the temple now. So you bring them out, they cooperate. Right? Sometimes happens. Kids say, okay, you say, oh, I'll take you outside, I'll give you some sandesh. Kid goes, oh, okay. Take out, very peaceful. And other times the kid is kicking and screaming. Ah, ah, ah. Right? Sometimes that's like us trying to go back to God. Yeah, Krishna's got us. He's trying to take us back. We're going, ah. I want to stay in the material world. Krishna says, no, no, no. You're coming back now. Just like in the back of your head, if you're a male devotee, you might have a shika. Yeah, when I joined, they told me that's what it was like. Because, you know, I joined, I was a new devotee. I didn't know anything. Why is that haircut there? Why do we have that on the back? Right. So the devotees told me that Krishna grabs you on that and he pulls you back to Godhead. Have you heard that? They still say that? Or? They still say that? Okay. Yeah, it's not entirely true. It sounds good. I told all my family. You know, when I joined, I got the haircut. And they said, why did you get that? I said, Krishna grabbed you then. So any intelligent person would say, well, how come the women haven't got it? Oh, they're not going back to Godhead. You know. You have to wait till you get a male form and then you get a shika. Because without that, you can't go back. It doesn't make sense. It sounds good. We can throw it into the mix, but it's not the main reason why we have a shika. The reason we have a shika is because we're personalists. We believe God is a person. You see the Buddhists, like the Dalai Lama, and you see Mayavadis, they shave everything because they believe everything is shunyavad or nivasesh. So they renounce everything. We keep something because no, God is a. We renounce this world, but God is a person. We don't renounce service to God. That's why we give the shika. That's the actual reason. And it looks good. I was actually a couple of weeks ago. I was going down the street, and one guy goes, "Oh, cool haircut, man." I said, "Yeah, man." Check it out. So whatever they think. Main reason is because it shows our tradition. That's the main reason. So the point is that we want to go back to Krishna, but cooperatively. Cooperate with Krishna. That's all Krishna wants. Prabhupada says that in Ishopanishad, in the purport. Prabhupada says, Krishna just wants us to cooperate. Krishna doesn't want to dominate us. Right. Krishna doesn't want to force us. Right. Like if I tell someone, right, pour me a glass of water now. No, sorry. I'm just making the point. Pour me a glass of water now. Come now, do it. You're forcing someone to do it. Right. Krishna doesn't want a relationship like that. No pleasure for Krishna. Do it now. What do you think? Krishna just sits there in the spiritual world. Hey, come now. Give me grapes. Krishna's not like that. Krishna is the Lord of sweetness. All of Krishna's relationships are in madhurya ras. Madhurya ras means sweetness. Madhu means honey. Sweetness. All of Krishna's pastime, madhurya. Vrindavan is called madhurya dham, the abode of sweetness. Right? Everyone serves Krishna willingly, voluntarily, with love. And Krishna reciprocates with love. And Krishna serves the devotees with love. Krishna is the best servant of everyone. He is Purushottama. He is the best. That is the mood in the spiritual world. Krishna just wants us to cooperate, just to be a part of it. He doesn't want to dominate everyone. So we just need to cooperate with Krishna. Go back to Godhead cooperatively. Right? What's Prabhupada asked him? Prabhupada said, chant 16 rounds. Follow the four regulative principles. Prabhupada said, you will go back to Godhead. So that's all you have to do. And, okay, that's like a certain level of commitment. But that's the level you have to come to if you want to go back to the spiritual world. Because that shows. That's a pretty fair deal. It's a pretty fair deal. That's all you have to do to go back to the spiritual world. Right? And sometimes we say, oh no, it's too difficult. We can't really make it easier. How easy is it supposed to get down to? Okay, 3.5 regulative principles and, 12 rounds. Okay, 8 rounds and 3 print. No, it doesn't work like that. Right? This is the basic system. So you follow the basic system, you'll go back to Krishna. Prabhupada said, if you can't do that, you're not even a human being. Prabhupada, sometimes it was very like that. Right? He was with some devotees one time, and they were walking with him, and they were discussing, oh, it's difficult. Prabhupada just stopped. He said, if you can't even do it, you are not a human being. Means Prabhupada would sometimes be very like that, because he had to be, to lift us all up. Otherwise, we'd be here forever. Ah, oh, Prabhupada, well, just do it. Right? Do it or don't do it. Make your choice. Do you want to go back to Krishna or not? Yes, I want to go back. Okay, then do this. You don't want to go back to Krishna? Okay, then take birth again in the material world. The choice is clear. The choice is simple. Okay. So, Preacher Maharaj is about to leave his body. So he's going back through the different elements. That's not the process that we follow, as we said. We don't like chant in the morning, neti, neti, I'm not this, I'm not that. We don't do like that. Cheto, darpana, marjanam, that's the first instruction Mahaprabhu gives in relationship to chanting. Lord Chaitanya only left us 8 verses. Sometimes it says there's some other verses which are attributed to him, but it's not generally accepted like that. But it's accepted that those 8 verses came from Mahaprabhu himself. He actually wrote them down, right? He didn't write other things down. Everything else Lord Chaitanya taught, he gave to Rupa Goswami, to Ramananda Roy, to Sanatana Goswami, and then eventually through Jiva Goswami, right? It came through his followers, right? They wrote down everything. He taught it. At the Dashrameda Ghat in Allahabad, Prayag, Lord Chaitanya sat for 10 days with Rupa Goswami and spoke. And then at the end he said, now write it all down. Right. So Lord Chaitanya was not personally writing, but Shikshastika personally wrote. So in the Shikshastika, in those 8 verses, you have the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. Right. The whole philosophy of Bhagavatam is in those 8 verses. Yeah. And what's the very first line? Cheto, Dapana, Marjana. That's the process we follow. You can follow the other process. Right. You can follow the process of neti neti. You can chant and you can meditate. I'm not the sense objects, I'm not the senses. You can go like that. But that's not what we follow. We don't teach devotees like that. When we give them beads, we say, okay, you don't use that finger, you chant on these 2 fingers. Right? There's the thumb and the forefinger. I remember when I first got my beads, first time the devotee gave me beads in turn chant. So one of the first questions I asked, okay, so why don't we use that finger? Right? And then you put it in the bead bag and it sticks out. You don't use that finger. What's the answer? Why does that finger stick out? Why don't we? Yeah, because it's moochie, because it's a picking finger, right? No, it's not. That's not the reason. That's what I was told. You know, first time I was given, you know, they gave me beads, I put through the, you know, this finger, and I'm thinking, you know, first time. I'd never chanted before, I didn't know anything, you know, and then suddenly I've got this finger sticking out. And it looks strange, right? Like, if anyone looks, like, they think, oh, you know, how come just one finger sticking out? Right? So I asked the devotee, why is that? Right? He said, oh, because you might want to scratch yourself, or... So, you know, for 25 years, I thought that was why. You know, I thought, oh, it's, you know, and then like you said, it's a moochie finger. Oh, they're all moochie fingers. Why is that more moochie than that one? It's like, you are the moochie finger. Stay out of the bag. You know? You shouldn't even be on this hand. You call yourself a finger? So, yeah, we say like that. No, what it actually represents, it took me 25 years to find out, that represents ego. When you're telling someone, what do? You know, someone says, oh, you know, you're stupid. And you say, oh yeah, what about you? Right, that's our ego finger, right? So when we're chanting, the reason that finger's out is because ego should be out of the chanting. The shape of the bead bag is the shape of your heart. So while you're chanting, quite often you'll see, like traditionally in pictures, quite often you'll see people chanting like this from the heart, right? And the bead bag is there because it represents your heart. What's going on in your bead bag is your heart, is your consciousness connected to Krishna on the spiritual platform. That's a time when you and Krishna are in the heart together. And that's why you're chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, always chant, go back to Godhead. So, the ego should be out while chanting. Right? At least if you can't keep your ego out the rest of the day, at least while you're chanting, keep your ego out. Right? But you don't do that anyway. Ego is, always keeps getting back in. But it should be out. Right? So, Cheto, Darpana, Marjanam. Right? These three words, this is the beginning of our whole chanting. Cheta, Chitta. Chitta means? Very good. Consciousness. Consciousness. When we're chanting, we're changing our consciousness. Prabhupada said, International Society for? Krishna Consciousness. I was reading recently, one person said to Prabhupada, call your society International Society for? God Consciousness. Very good. Prabhupada said, no, Krishna Consciousness. Right. We're meant to be developing the chitta, or the consciousness that God is a person. Not just a person, he's a blue cowherd boy. Right. That's what we're chanting for, to realize that he's a blue cowherd. Prabhupada says the goal of Krishna consciousness is that you will go, just like Mother Yashoda, and you will take Krishna by the hand, and you will lead him. Prabhupada said that's the goal of Krishna consciousness. So, chitta, cheto means chitta. Darpana means mirror. Marjanam means cleansing. Yeah, cleansing the mirror. Right, nice analogy. Lord Chaitanya gives a nice analogy in the very beginning. Your consciousness is like a mirror. So you look in the mirror, and the mirror is covered with dust. So you have to clean it. So your chanting process, that's the first thing that we do when we're chanting. The first verse of Shikshastika gives us seven elements of chanting, or seven stages of chanting. Right? So the first is, you have to cleanse your consciousness. Get rid of your
ego.
Very good, ego. And your
anattas.
Anattas, very good. Anattas means material desires. And?
Senses.
Huh?
Senses.
Yeah, or attachment to the senses? Yep, very good. Attachment to the senses. What else?
Coverings to the mind.
Yeah, all the false things. Avidya, Rupa Goswami says in the very beginning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, why are we here in this material world? Avidya. Ignorance. You don't know who you are anymore. One time Prabhupada flew in to one airport and the reporter met Prabhupada. Said to Prabhupada, why did you come to our country? Prabhupada said, I have come to teach you that which you have forgotten. We're all in ignorance. We don't even know who we are anymore. Who are you? You are Krishna's eternal servant. You're meant to be in... You see there, all the gopis are with Lord Balaram. We're meant to be in the pastime with the Lord. You know, serving. But we forgot that. Now you're in Albert Park. Wearing a beanie. And glasses. A couple of things you'll notice when you get back to the spiritual world. No one wears glasses. No one wears glasses, spiritual world. Material world, people wear it. And beanies. You'll notice when you get back to spiritual world. People aren't walking around beanies. Maybe sometimes. But. But generally not. Why do we wear beanies? Because we're cold. Why are we cold? We're suffering. And why do you wear glasses? Because you're suffering. You're going blind. Soon you will see nothing. This is the material world. So enjoy yourself. Thank you for coming to the Hare Krishna temple. Enjoy your glasses and your beanies. We have a nice breakfast for you afterwards. Or, alternatively, if you would like to go back to Krishna, hands up if you'd like to go back and live with Krishna. Good answer. All right. Then you have to get serious about Krishna consciousness. You show some seriousness in Krishna. Yayata mam prapachante tam tadaiva pajamyaham. Krishna says, as you surrender, I reward you accordingly. You get serious, I'll get serious. It's easy for him. You want to go back to Godhead? Krishna will take you back right now. No problems. But are you serious enough yet? Maybe, maybe not. So you'll have to see. Thank you all for coming. Anyone have any questions or comments? Yes, sir.
When you were talking about the finger, where did you get that information from?
From Guru. One of the gurus explained it.
It's in the Japa book too.
What's that?
It's in the Japa book.
Which Japa book?
The one that comes with the...
Oh, that one?
Yeah.
Okay, nice. Yeah, Burujan Prabhu. It's in his Japa book. Like that. So that's one reference I can give to it. But I heard it from someone else, but yeah. It's good if we know these things, because then we can give devotees the right information when they join. Because it happens. Like, I spent 25 years, like, thinking... yeah, I had, like, a real complex about this finger. It's like... you know, when I join, it's very important. Prabhupada said the devotees should become learned. Should all become. Prabhupada said the family title is Bhakti Vedanta. Prabhupada, that was his title, given by his godbrothers. A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami. Prabhupada. Why? Because Prabhupada was known for being learned. So Prabhupada said all of us should also become scholars, learned. So that it's important, because then when devotees join, we can teach them properly. And then everyone else becomes learned. And then if we all become brahmanas, learned, then we have so much effect in our preaching. Otherwise people come, you know, we tell them things like, you know, this is for scratching your nose, and people kind of think, you know. you know, should I be a part of this or not? You know, it's like, it doesn't make sense. When I joined, I moved into the ashram. And then there was a devotee who joined a month before me, or 2 months before me. So they didn't know very much, but they were kind of left to instruct me and guide me and take me around and teach me. But they didn't really know a lot themselves. So I came into the temple. I didn't even know what deities were. You know, I just walked in and then there's deities. So they explained to me, these are the deities. I was like, oh, okay. So I was bowing down. And then they said, Lord Chaitanya is on our left and Lord Nityananda is on our right. Which is the opposite. That's Lord Chaitanya, that's Lord Nityananda. But, you know, for the first couple of weeks, I was thinking it was the other way. Because my guru, who didn't know what he was talking about, you know, the bhakti who had been in the ashram 2 months before me, he didn't know himself, so he's telling me. And it didn't feel right. I don't know, for some reason, like, you know, I kept, you know, thinking, oh, that's Nityananda, that's Lord Chaitanya. It didn't feel right. And then after a month or so, or a couple of weeks, and someone said, no, that's not right. Who told you that? So the point is that we should know. You should become learned in Krishna consciousness. You know, you should study the books carefully, and then we can teach everyone properly. Any other question? Yes, sir.
Humor. Krishna's humor. Do you have an example of Krishna's humor?
Examples?
In scripture, or?
Some pastimes where Krishna is humorous. There's many. There's one nice pastime I read recently where that pastime is very complicated, so it's hard to. There's one time where Srimati Radharani, Krishna is chasing her down the path. And then as she's running down the path, suddenly a cobra comes up on the path and then goes on there. Radharani, you know, in the spiritual world, snakes don't bite. But Srimati Radharani becomes scared and then she turns around, she runs straight back to Krishna. So it's like an example of Krishna's humor. He brings a snake into the pastime to get things the way he would like. You know, another nice pastime is that Srimati Radharani's so-called husband, Abhimanyu, it says in the Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that Krishna dresses up as him and then comes home to Jabat, to where Srimati Radharani's in-laws live. And then he gets there, and Jatila, who's Radharani's mother-in-law, Abhimanyu's mother, then as Krishna walks in, he dresses as Abhimanyu, and she's a little bit blind, and he uses his voice. And then he says, Mother, I've come home to see my wife, and I've heard that Krishna is going to dress up just like me. And he will arrive here soon and he's going to try to see Srimati Radharani under no circumstances allow him. He says, of course, my son, go and see your wife. So Krishna goes in, dressed as Abhimanyu, to see Radharani. And then Abhimanyu gets on. And Jatila has the gate locked and she's up there on the top of the gate and she has cow dung. She says, get out of here, you black snake. Get out of here. Everyone was like, what's going on? There's many pastimes.
Moral
of that story?
Yeah.
That story is not an allegorical or pastime. That's just for the Lord's pleasure. Krishna has pastimes which are to instruct us, and then he has pastimes which are just for his pleasure. He doesn't need to teach us. You know, he gives us pastimes to teach us. Come on, work it out, guys. Once you've worked it out, you can just go there and you can witness it and enjoy it. So the moral is, don't stay in this material world, sitting on the toilet. Go back to the spiritual world and enjoy being with Krishna. That's the moral. Any other questions?
What is this fear of heart principles?
Then people say no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, and then illicit sex, then they bend that rule. If you want to go back to the spiritual world, you have to follow four regulative principles. Not everyone can come to that platform straight away. It takes time. Devotees struggle with illicit sex. Right. So we don't expect everyone's going to come to that platform straight away. But at the same time, we should understand if you don't come to the platform where you follow all four, then you can't go back to the spiritual world. So sometimes devotees say three and a half. Any other question?
What is the actual definition of Sankirtan?
Sankirtan.
What do we mean by what we do is in Sankirtan? What do we do here in Sankirtan? What does that mean? What do we do in Sankirtan? What is the actual meaning? What are we expected to do?
Sankirtan. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtana. San means Samakirtan. Samakirtan means together kirtan. Right? Kirtan means, japa means you're just chanting privately. Kirtan means you're singing, glorifying. Samakirtan means all together. Right? We come together, congregation. That's the most powerful form of chanting. So it means together kirtan. Any other question?
Please summarize the message today.
Summarize the message today. Cooperate with Krishna. Don't get dragged back to the spiritual world. Go back voluntarily and cooperatively. And be a good devotee along the way. Help others to come back as well. And then one day you'll see Krishna and Krishna's shadow getting cow dung thrown at him. That's the message. Any other question? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki?